Hallelujah. 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 God is looking for a people who will run towards their Goliath. I tell you, hear that today. It's your word. It's your word. God is looking for a people who will run towards their Goliath. Too many are praying about their Goliath. Too many are hiding from their Goliath and avoiding Goliath and limping towards Goliath. Too many are crying on their way to Goliath. But God is looking for someone to run towards their Goliath so that those little stones in their hands can get the job done. Too many are trying to find out how to get the job done. Too many are looking at what they can take to them and bring to the table to get the job done. Too many are looking to their own faithfulness. And I'm here to tell you, man is unfaithful at his best. And that only God is faithful. And he's looking for someone to believe that.
Amen.
Until you run towards your Goliath, Goliath will yet stand in your face and win. It's time for you to put your life on the line and everything you ever stood for on the line and everything you've ever believed on the line and run towards that Goliath and let the whole world know that if God doesn't come through for you, you are dead. You are finished. You lose all. Too many of us have hedged our bets. Too many of us have covered our bases. Too many of us have thought that, well, I'll do this if that. No, 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 no. God wants you to run towards your Goliath, and then he will come through for you. God has never not come through for those who counted on his faithfulness. It's that religious crowd that's counting on their faithfulness that he can't work miracles for, because they keep looking in the mirror and seeing themselves. They keep scratching their heads and using their brains, their tools, their abilities. And God says, I'm waiting for someone to run towards Goliath so that I can be faithful for them. Amen. God wants to be faithful to you. He has all of the necessary paperwork to be faithful to you. All the permission, all the legal rights, everything that's ever stood in the way has been taken out of the way. You come as a child. You come as a sanctified one. You come as one who represents as an ambassador. And he says, when you believe in my faithfulness and you're crazy enough to run towards your Goliath, then will your Goliath fall.
Amen.
And until then, it's a mixed match of you, God, and whatever, and oh my God. I'm here to ask you to turn to one scripture, Hebrews chapter 11. Would you turn there, ladies and gentlemen, where we were a moment ago? I've got one question to ask you. And I want you to read this scripture. Actually, it's only a section, four words out of the scripture. And this is going to settle it. This is where your Goliath will fall. Because have you turned to chapter 11 yet? Because the biggest problem we face here today is we think evil of God. We think of him like a man. And Sarah's impossible dream was fulfilled for one reason. Hebrews 11, verse 11, it says, she judged him faithful. Yeah. Capital him. She judged him faithful. That's where folks miss it. It is. They don't believe God is faithful to them. And when Sarah didn't believe God was faithful and she heard the promises of God and the prophetic future God had for them, she laughed. Too many of God's children laugh when they hear the prophetic. Sometimes not even too much aloud, they just giggle under their breath. That's ridiculous is what they're saying when they laugh. Sarah was saying that's ridiculous. And that response, not to her husband, but to God, who had given the promise, kept them in turmoil and birthed the Ishmaelites. But when she finally got to the place where it says she judged him faithful, my friend, it says, though her body was past age, she had the power to conceive a child. So I have a question this morning that is the key to all of your unanswered prayers. The victory you have been seeking, it's this. How do you judge God? How do you judge God? Do you find him faithful or unfaithful? How do you judge God? She judged him faithful. And I'm wanting to say six things about that this morning. And all the bets are out, but they may lose their money. I want to begin with this, Numbers 23, 19 and 20, which you see, God cannot lie. And too often we treat God like another man, we knew. And oh, how hoity-toity these psychologists are today, because they encourage you to treat your father with negative thoughts, and so you'll treat your God the Father the same way. They don't want you to believe. The devil doesn't want you to believe. And in Numbers 23, 19 and 20, it says this, God is not a man that he should lie. But that's where you've had your conflict. Can I believe or can I not? Should I or shouldn't I? Do I have? And the devil's got you to spin. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. As often as you're repenting and I'm repenting, as often as we're changing our minds and oh my goodness, we're up and we're down. He says, you think God's like that? Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Then I love verse 20. Behold, I have received a command to bless. God has blessed and I cannot reverse it. Oh, how the devil wants you to believe the promises are reversed. Yeah. The blessings are reversed because the devil wants you to look at yourself as if there was a man born without fault. As if you could find one man or woman in the Bible that God used that was without fault. But all we talk about all day long is faults. All we think about all day long is our faults. And if you're not thinking of your faults, you're thinking of somebody else's faults, because the blame game reigns and you wonder why Goliath stands and laughs at you. You see, you have not said to this Goliath, you've defied God and his armies. And I come in the name of that God to take your head off. He, that Goliath, saw Goliath and David. David saw David, God, and Goliath lost. How do you judge God? How do you judge God? Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised. We judged him faithful. Oh, do I well remember the night I was saved back in 1965 in that little Baptist church. Never been in a Baptist church or a church at night in my life. And I remember that preacher preaching that gospel and giving that invitation and me being too afraid, but I believed. And then he said, let's pray this prayer as we bow our heads. And if you pray this prayer, make it your own. I tell you what, I judged God could hear. I judged God was faithful. I judged God would hear my prayer sitting there, and it never entered my mind that he would not hear it nor answer it. And I walked out knowing I was saved because God cannot lie. But how many Christians treat God as though he could lie? They somehow get who he is confused with what they're going through. They somehow get their fears and their negative fantasies intertwined with this thing instead of, you know, you don't hear about David. Well, David says, I'm going to go fight Goliath. I'm going to spend a couple of days fasting and praying, cleansing my life. Garbage. Who knows what the lad had been doing? He counted the atonement was enough, and he went for the door.
Amen.
It was the king who was all upset and trying to figure it out, give him his arm and all the rest of it. It was he who said, I don't need any of this. I can only go with what I know, and what I know is flinging stones, and I'm just going to fling a stone. How can you knock down Goliath with a stone? I have no idea. That's all I got. I'm going with what's in my hand. Was I judge God faithful?
Yes.
God is waiting for you to run towards your Goliath, ladies and gentlemen, not walk. All this assessing and, I got to get it right. Look at me. I want you to know, to succeed in the kingdom, you don't have to get it right.
Amen.
That's the most frustrating thing the devil ever heard. It blows his mind because it just takes the thorn right out of the wound. You don't have to get it right to win. God got it right on the cross.
Amen.
How do you judge God? The God who cannot lie.
Right.
Who isn't a man, as a man to be, to need to repent and change his mind. I think of that scripture, known from the beginning are all of his works. He's going in a straight line, folks. It's you and I who make it crooked in our imaginations. It's for our sakes he had to say all things work together for good. It's for our sakes he had to say he worketh in all things after the counsel of his own will. Was God never doubted it for a moment? The angels didn't. They knew better. But there is man always bringing God down to his size. I'm here to challenge you today to let God be God in your life. And respond to life knowing he's God. And in the name of this God, this manifest God, Son of a God, Jesus, I'm going to believe and move out. I'm stepping out on this thing.
Amen.
There is another thing that messes people up, and I need you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 for this one yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. God cannot lie, and then this, all of God's promises have a yes in them. All of God's promises have a yes in them, ladies and gentlemen. Stop finding the no. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. Verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, or perhaps and or maybe not, but in him was yes. Verse 20, for all the promises of God in Jesus are yes, and in him amen, and to the glory of God through us. Now, here's what's going to happen if you'll just believe that today. Verse 21, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and he's anointed us as God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a deposit. He said, I want to just tell you right here and now, all of God's promises have a yes in them, and the devil keeps trying to find a no in them for you so that you will say, but. They're yes. If I have learned anything since 1965, it is this. God is continually waiting for people to grab hold of one promise. I don't care if it's the dumbest thing to you in the world. But someone somewhere grabbing hold of one promise and holding life accountable to that promise, and holding themselves accountable to that promise, and holding everything else accountable to that promise, and believing God for that promise, was there's a yes in it. You do that and hang on to that tail, baby. And I don't care where that dog runs, over rocks or through fire. Don't let go of that thing, because that promise has a yes in it. And that yes in it is for you. And that yes will work. I don't care how many gainsayers there are. I don't care how many doubters there are. I don't care how many bloody you are through the whole experience. There is a yes in every promise of God. And if you'll hang on to that baby, just one of them, your life will never be the same. And God will come through for you.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen.
Don't let go. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if you're down to your last dime or your last cup of gas. I don't care if there's no food in the refrigerator. I don't care if you're sitting on the street with a half full suitcase. I don't care. Grab hold of that promise. Because there's a yes in that baby.
Amen.
And that yes is going to come through for you. Oh, it is. That yes is what God wants you to hang on to. And Lord, I'm going to die here believing in this yes.
That's right.
That's what those guys did in Hebrews, it says. They lived and died by faith, even though the promises never came through. Because those promises were true, and they knew those promises were true. And you know, they're walking up and down the streets of the city that those promises we're talking about today. It's what we preach. The hope of the resurrection, the new heaven and the new earth. Psalm 138 is very good at this point. And I'll just get there so quickly, it's outrageous. If you don't feel like turning, at least write it down and look at it when you get home. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified or exalted your word above all your name. He said, I come to church every time the doors open to worship and to praise your name, because I know in this unsteady world, in the circumstances of life, when I come into the house, I hear the word that God is exalted or magnified above his own name, which is inconceivable. But, and I was thinking a lot about that. You know, John says in the beginning was the word. And actually, if I recall correctly, in the text, the word the is not even there. In beginning word. In beginning word. And then we read later on, then the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God's promises have a big fat yes in them. And he's waiting for you to grab hold of that thing and say, do or die, I'm believing Almighty God. I can just work with stone, so I'm going to use what's in my hand and run towards Goliath. You don't have to announce it to everybody and make it an ego trip. Just run towards Goliath.
Amen. Amen.
God cannot lie. All of God's promises have a yes in them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And glory to God in the highest. And then number three, I really like this one. This is the now dispensation. This is the now dispensation. And what do I mean when I say this is the now dispensation? Well, I'm going to show you in a moment. In this dispensation, God's working is always now, not next week or not tomorrow or not a day to come. He says in Luke chapter 4, Jesus, at the end of his explanation of his ministry, in Luke 4, 19, he says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, or the Jubilee year. That is when all debts were forgiven and everyone can start from now. Then he closed this book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Folks, this is the year of Jubilee. This is the acceptable year. This is the acceptable time. I love this. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. Well, tomorrow I should have things better worked out. No, it's today. I cannot stand being around tomorrow, people, because they're always putting off the blessing. They're always postponing the promise. And that doesn't take faith in a good God. Someone who judges God as faithful, it takes unbelief. It's so easy to say one day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, is that incredible scripture? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we then, as workers together with him, that's God, also plead with you to not receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, when God extends you the grace, access it and move in it. Don't let it be something like a wet squib. For he says, verse 2, in an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I've helped you. The day of salvation is the day you needed help.
Amen.
It's a now dispensation.
Right.
This is one of the most shocking things, because it's a fulfillment dispensation, fulfilling the promises that they've waited for. It is all happening now. That's why you can preach to someone and say, you can be saved now. Well, I have to think about it. You don't have to think about it. Today, now, you can be saved. It is a now dispensation. You have problems that can be solved now. I have to think about it. You can, but you don't have to. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. A waste of time. God gave you the key and you put it down on the table and walked away and didn't start the car. You see, how do you judge God? In all of this, I see it on God, not man. What we don't realize, ladies and gentlemen, is that God is looking for an opportunity to help you. You'd think I wouldn't have to say that. He sees your situation. He sees what you're facing. He knows how you're made. He made you. He wrought your parts in the hidden places before you were even put in your mother as a seed. Your ways and your concerns. He knew the family he was putting in you, the mother you'd have, the father you'd have, the circumstances. He knew it all. I like that scripture that says God's a very present help in time of need. That's a very nice one. But I like another one in 2 Chronicles. This is rather darling. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, you have one of those mighty verses that I've been reading since I was a teenager. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." He says, you know something? God is on a search for people who want to run against their Goliath. He's looking for it. Well, I'm looking for God. He ain't lost, honey. You are, and he knows where you are. His eyes are always sweeping through life, sweeping through communities and families and churches and cities and nations, always looking for someone on behalf of whom he might become strong. Turn to the person next to you and say, God wants to become strong on your behalf. God does. He does. You see, you've got he's searching for it. And here you are, the devil's got you believing you're searching for it. Oh, well, I'm going to cut myself. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast. I'm going to take a season to ask God. That's all unbelief. That's all the mechanics of religion. It says here he is searching all over, to and fro. That means he's not stopping in one place. He's going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, looking for someone on the behalf of whom he can become strong. God is looking for the opportunity to help you. But we say, oh God, I'm looking forward to God helping. He is looking to help you. Run towards your Goliath. Grab hold of the promise and run.
Amen.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians 12, you might want to see this, ladies and gentlemen. In 2 Corinthians 12, famous portion. He says in verse 9, "And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore," you see, he judged God faithful. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm made strong." You see, he believed God was searching to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for someone to help. Do you believe God is looking to help you? He's standing there wanting to help you. He's standing there waiting to help you. Or you're going to do it the way you figured it, the way your families have always done it, the way your father did it and your grandfather did it. They always had a plan it and figure it and assess it and be afraid and get eaten up over the thing. God says, you know, I'm searching to find someone who'll look up. I'm searching to find someone who'll judge me faithful. Who'll judge that I will be there. Who'll come to the right judgment about me. Instead of judging God through man's eyes, with all of our frailties and our concerns, our anxieties and our weaknesses and our disappointments, through our dishonesty. Judging God for who he is. I am God and I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The book of Revelation says he's the faithful and true witness. He showed up and he showed off God. And now he's Lord over all on behalf of his churches. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he is looking for an opportunity to help you. And I know God has got someone in mind. Because you felt alone. You felt abandoned. You felt like no one cared. And it's funny, when we go through stuff, we feel all of that and more. It's amazing how many people we write off when we feel bad about things. Until we've just isolated ourselves in a corner and sunk our shoulders and said, oh God, I'm on my own and I'm not even sure you care. And the truth of it is, all this time, when you were putting yourself through all these things, when you were getting yourself all worked up and upset, when you felt abandoned and no one cared and no one noticed, when you thought your sins had caught up with you at last, when you thought judgment has finally come to your door, God was searching to and fro throughout the whole earth to find someone who he could come through for and be strong for, to find someone who would believe in grace. I say, I believe in grace. Let the weak say, I am strong, we sing. Let the poor say, I am rich, we sing. That is grace. That is believing in the God whose promises are true. That is judging God faithful. You see, you may be like a Sarah. It may be past your time. On paper, you may look like you've just passed your time. But I tell you what, she gave birth to a child as old as my stepfather. Wow. She judged him faithful. She stood in front of that little bronze mirror and said, I don't see what I see. I see a fertile, strong young woman who will receive from God the strength needed. She judged God faithful. Isn't it time for you to come face to face with your Goliath and say, I am through with avoiding you. Today you're finished. Today God will give me your head and I'll put it on a pole and I'll drag your stupid oversized sword all over the place to show you're dead. And it says that young man ran towards Goliath. And even while he was running, Goliath was laughing and mocking. Oh, we tried to prove we're right and show we know what we're talking about and do a little extra study to get through all the details. Hey, I'm right. Stop judging yourself and stop listening to the judgments of man and grab hold of that promise and judge God faithful and run towards him in Jesus' name, because all the promises are yes. Yes, and there's a yes in every one of them. Amen.
That's
amen.
Right. Amen.
God cannot lie. All of God's promises have a yes in them. This is a now dispensation, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God. God is looking for an opportunity to help you. And then such a simple promise next that is so often overlooked. Number 5. You are always blessed. You're in a blessed state. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And oh, how you're crying to qualify to be blessed. I know it. Don't deny it. Don't get that religious look about you. The biggest fear you've got is that you don't deserve it. You're not qualified for it. And it's going to happen when you're blessed. And I'm telling you here and now, when you got saved, every blessing in heaven became yours. And no one, including you, can separate you from that. Period.
Amen.
To miss your blessing, you're going to downright refuse it. To miss your blessing, you're going to downright not believe it. To miss your blessing, you're going to attack it and kill it. Now, none of you are that foolish. But I tell you what, if you are that foolish, in one quick decision, it's all there again.
That's right.
I don't care how low you brought it. I don't care how flat you beat it. I don't care how ugly you made it. In one decision, you can say, "My God, I agree with you. That was stupid." Bang, they're all there. Not some of them, not a few. Well, you used up most. Every blessing in heavenly places is always there. You're always blessed.
Amen.
We preach perverted sermons. We take home ugly ideas about the blessing. Oh, I understand that, such as in Malachi, it says that if you will bring in your tithe, it'll open up a blessing from heaven. And that's true. But you'd be amazed how many folks even don't get that wrong. They pay their tithes every week, but they don't believe there's a blessing. They don't believe they're blessed. They don't give after that because they're so blessed. They don't see themselves blessed. All they can talk about, well, you know, I just had a terrible day. You wouldn't believe the headache I woke up this morning, and I can hardly see straight. Then I got a phone call from my brother, and you wouldn't believe the trouble he's in. And then, dear Lord, the phone got shut off. Yeah. Oh, God, you sure live under the circumstances. And I'm not saying these things aren't real, and I'm not saying they won't have to be dealt with, but I'm going to tell you here and now, it doesn't sound to me like you have judged God to be faithful. You got to rise above your circumstances. I'm not saying deny them. I'm not saying be a laughing idiot, but I am saying this. Judge God faithful and say, "Nevertheless, I'm blessed. And nevertheless, I don't have to rise above this. I am already above this. I'm the blessed of God, and I'm going to plan like I'm blessed. I'm going to live like I'm blessed. I'm going to talk like I'm blessed. And I'm going to access every blessing in heaven that is mine in Christ." You see, the fact that you're always blessed isn't a condition. It's always there, even when you do something stupid. All you got to do is agree with God. And the full extent, the full impact, the power of every heavenly blessing, which has always been yours, is once again activated. God cannot lie. All of God's promises have a yes in them. This is a now generational dispensation. God is looking for an opportunity to help you. You are always blessed. No one can rob you of that any more than they can of the fact that you're saved. And number 6, Jesus is always standing up for you in heaven. Jesus is always standing up for you in heaven. And the truth be told, ladies and gentlemen, to think anything else is to deny the cross. Because why would he die for all of your sins, past, present, and future, if he was planning on reaching under the blood of his own cross and shoving six of them down your throat? 1 John 2:1 says, my little children, these things I write to you that you do not sin or may not sin. God doesn't encourage sin. And if anyone sin, so he knows what we're prone to do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We've got an advocate, a parakletos. We've got someone in heaven to comfort God. Now, I think all of that, none of that and all of that is to be taken literally, because the blood of the cross has already comforted the Father. It was the Holy Spirit's best way to say through John, don't you know when you sin, you've got someone who sticks up for you?
Yeah.
Don't you know when you sin, you're not supposed to run from Jesus, you're supposed to run to Jesus and find grace to help in time of need? Don't you know it's about time you stop making yourself pay for what the cross fully paid for? Now, the Hebrew epistle gives us two incredible scriptures on this subject that I think are more powerful than that one. So I started with the weak, as strong as it is. And I said that in Hebrews 7:25, that's why he can save us completely. Look at verse 25 of Hebrews 7. Therefore, Jesus is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them.
Right.
We've got an uttermost no-so salvation because he ever lives to back us up. Man, how can you lose that? How can you? How can you get in these bad books? You know, we've got a real confused thing about discipline, because discipline doesn't mean say you're in God's bad books. It means you need some attention from heaven beyond what is written. You aren't in God's bad books when he deals with you. He's out to save you to the uttermost. He ever lives to stand up for you. Look, if you would, in chapter 9 of Hebrews, in verse 24, it says the same thing. For Christ... Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, glory to God, now to appear in the presence of God for us. God is always for you, I said. Here's a verse that said he's always for us before the Father. Jesus is always standing up for you in heaven. Oh, how do you judge God? God cannot lie. All of God's promises have a yes in them. This is the now dispensation. God is looking for an opportunity to help you. You're always blessed. Jesus is always standing up for you in heaven. Anything else? Plenty. But I'll give you a couple more. Turn to Psalm 37. You're going to get this tape and play it over and over and make my son give it to you before he goes to Europe next week and play it over and over and over and over till your believer is blowing out with it.
Amen.
Psalm 37, verse 3. That's 3 to the rest of you. Psalm 37, trust in the Lord, man, and do good. Stop. Don't give up. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell on the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Man, what in the world are you feeding on? Feed on God's faithfulness. And just go ahead then and delight yourself in God. Because you won't be able to delight yourself in God till you feed on his faithfulness. You say, oh my God, you're just so marvelous. Your name is wonderful for a reason, because you are. You're beautiful. You're the rose of Sharon. You're the lily of the valley. You're the bright morning star. You're everything that's wonderful and beautiful. Wow. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him. Trust in him. He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. You go ahead, he says, and rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. And don't you fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. He says, don't you dare. He says, you cease from anger and forsake wrath in verse 8. Don't fret. It's going to hurt you. Verse 9, evildoers are going to be cut off, ladies and gentlemen. Jump to verse 23. If it seems like I'm rushing, you are right. I am. I've got somewhere to go. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. That is yours. Here we go. Here we go. One parting shot for the religious. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Even when you fall, God is holding you up. Why do we kick him? Why do we step on them? Why do we maim them? Why do we declare them dead? God's holding them up. Verse 25, this is the context for verse 25. I'm young. I was young. I'm now old. And I've never seen God turn his back on his kids. Well, while you're in the Old Testament, let's come to the final verse. There's a little book after Jeremiah, Lamentations. Turn to chapter 3. Perhaps the mightiest scriptures in the Old Testament on the subject of how to judge God. Lamentations 3, ladies and gentlemen. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Oh, yes, you're blessed. Hallelujah. Blessed all the time. That's the response. All the time. I'm blessed all the time. Lamentations 3. We've got a few verses to look at. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Lamentations 3, we're going to go 23. Verse 22, excuse me, through 26. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Look up, ladies and gentlemen. Here you were, wondering if your case was too bad. Could I just say to someone this morning, God's compassions will never fail you. That's a true father, isn't it?
Yes.
His compassions will never fail you, folks. I just so want you to understand, this is why Paul said we to come boldly to the throne of grace and find it to help us when things are rough. You've got to believe God's compassions are not going to fail you, folks. You can come to him and say, well, Lord, that's 4,782 times now I come to apologize. He's going to say, who's counting?
Yeah.
Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion. He's my slice of pie, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 How do you judge God? I'll just tell you how Sarah did it and received her impossible dream. She judged him faithful. And I want to end how I begun. God is waiting for you to grab that promise and run towards Goliath, knowing that you've judged God faithful, and when you need it, that man, that giant that has mocked you in your faith will go down. Run, run, run towards your Goliath in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.